President Trump announced today on Twitter that he will ban transgender people from serving in the military in any capacity. That's a sweeping reversal of an Obama-era policy aimed at opening the military to transgender people. Also today, and likely all week, the Senate is in the midst of an intense debate over whether and how to repeal and maybe replace the Affordable Care Act.
And wither Jeff Sessions. Let's bring in our political analyst in the right corner, Paris Denard, our Republican strategist. Hi, Paris.
I am in the right, the correct corner. You're very correct, Robin.
Oh, and on the left, punching above her weight, Angela Rye, a Democratic strategist. Hi, Angela.
Hi, I'm never punching above my weight. I'm ready for game time, Robin. I'm ready.
And Paris, I'm going to start with you because the Republicans are in power and in the news. Lawmakers were able to vote to begin debate on the Republican health care plans last night, but barely. And today, President Trump took Lisa Murkowski of Alaska to task on Twitter. She was one of two, Susan Collins of Maine the other, who didn't even vote to start debate on health care. Do Republicans risk what the Hill called this circular firing squad? They don't repeal Obamacare. It's not looking good. But in the process, they take down fellow Republicans like Murkowski.
Well, you know what? I don't know if the president really is alone in his dismay with the two Republicans who did not vote yesterday to move this to the floor, because the Republicans have had 7 years to come up with a plan, and for the Senate to refuse, or for senators to not even want to get this to debate, to not even allow it to offer amendments, to offer an opportunity for the American people to have a better chance to have access to affordable health care is horrible. And so I think it was the appropriate thing for the American people to hear that the president wants this debate and he wants these amendments and he wants a better bill. And I think at the end of the day, that's what matters most.
Well, what about the possible end results, Angela? As you look at this, do you think that they're going to be able to get something passed and at least partially repeal the Affordable Care Act?
I think they're going to be able to get something passed. I think the question, and it's, I think, frankly, the billion-dollar question is what? When you consider what Paris just mentioned, which is, you know, it's a shame they wouldn't even allow this to get to the floor. I think what's more shameful is the fact that we have a health care law in place with Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, which was designed to ensure that health care was accessible and became more of a right to the American people. This bill, frankly, is one that would allow for tax credits and cutting taxes for the rich. That has nothing to do with affordability of health care to millions of American people. And that's if they rely upon the same health care plan put forth and passed in the House. I don't know what they're going to be able to move forward, but I think the irony of the timing of what's happening with Senator McCain, and of course we wish that he gets and pray that he gets well soon, is here he is in an elitist position where he can afford the best of the best. And he has access to the best of the best because of status and some amount of wealth. He's not the richest, but some amount of wealth. Compared to folks everywhere, all throughout this country, regardless of where they live geographically, who can't afford quality health care. We know better than anyone else that the time is now to compromise on what's before us and to just strengthen the health care plan that we have instead of trying to sabotage it and put forth something that may not even work.
Paris, what role do you think John McCain will have? Talk about battle scarred. You know, he came back with that scar along his brow. I mean, really quite something to see that. Didn't hide it. And of course, there's evoking memories of Ted Kennedy with the same illness coming in and battling for Obama legislation. John McCain making that plea, you know, unlike Kennedy. Kennedy wanted to go even further than Democrats did. He wanted even to go further on health care to the left. McCain begging for compromise. Is he going to get it?
I hope. And I think Angela was a little bit wrong. It's not the billion-dollar question. It's literally the trillion-dollar question.
Yeah.
Is can we do something for the American people? And I think that's why Senator McCain, who I know I've known for many years, I'm from Arizona, this is why he decided to come and fight back, because this issue is very, very important to the American people, but also to the people in Arizona who are his constituents that saw Obamacare premiums rise up to 100 and 115 or more percent. And so this is an issue that has to get beyond partisanship. They must come together. And I think we have a president who wants to bring Democrats to the table. He said it, and we should take him at his word.
Well, he's been going after Democrats on Twitter throughout this entire process. You think he wants to bring Democrats into the process?
I think if it means for him to get a deal that is a better deal than Obamacare so he can get a win under his belt for the American people, yes, the president will want to bring Democrats to the table, because we've seen he can't even get Republicans to have enough courage to, like Murkowski and Collins, to bring this to the floor.
But, you know, I know we probably have to move on, but just really quick, I think we're doing a real disservice to Senators Murkowski and Collins. There's a reason for that. This bill should have been considered in regular order. There should have been an opportunity to consider all of the options on the table. It should have been properly scored by CBO with enough time for the senators to consider what's before them. So that's really why they voted against.
People
it's a process
in
thing.
Both their states, Maine and Alaska, are going to stand to lose their insurance. But
yes,
we do have to move on.
Well, there's so much going on today. Yeah. And let me get your thoughts, both of you, on President Trump's Twitter announcement that he will ban all transgender people from the military, reversing an Obama-era policy aimed at opening the military to transgender people. Paris, what's the point of this? Why now? I mean, he's saying that it's about medical costs, but we're talking about a few thousand people in a very big military.
You know, I don't know, but what I have made a conscious decision is not to question our military leaders. And the president said that after consultation with the generals and the military leaders at the Department of Defense, they came to this conclusion. And I think if they came to the conclusion, I think it's one that I have to respect.
Angela?
Yeah, I think that this is more about him trying to yet again take away something that President Obama worked very diligently on. As you all know, this was scheduled to be implemented on July 1st. General Mattis delayed this announcement so that they could really assess whether or not this would have any impact on the troops. So not only did Donald Trump issue this, you know, this edict, technically that's almost what it is, on Twitter today, he blindsided the Department of Defense. Here they are in working groups trying to figure this out, and I don't agree with delaying the implementation of it, but I definitely don't agree with completely snatching the rug out from them for $2 to maybe $8 million, when we know that his border wall is going to cost billions. And that is a taxpayer expense. So he should have been a little bit more considerate, perhaps even of one of his surrogates, Caitlyn Jenner, you know, to say that there's nobody in the military who can be transgender and serve in any capacity is a great affront. And you think about people who serve as lawyers and doctors and engineers and all of the ways in which they impact lives.
Yep.
That's problematic.
This
and
one correction.
There are 18 countries.
One correction, Mexico is going to pay for that wall.
Mexico is not paying for that wall. Stop telling that lie.
We don't hear a lot of that anymore. But Paris, I do want to ask you about the president's attacks on his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, you know, yesterday at a press conference, today in tweets. Why is he doing this? Conservatives like fellow Alabaman Richard Shelby said flat out, Sessions is being brutalized by President Trump and doesn't deserve it. You know, why would Trump risk losing conservatives who back Sessions when he's already lost the moderates?
I'll put it to you this way. I think attack and brutalize, I think it is overusing those words. I think the president is just articulating his frustrations with some of the choices that the attorney general has made. Everyone knows that he is not pleased that he recused himself. We know that he wishes he was going after the things that he feels were illegal that Secretary Clinton has done. This is what President Trump does. He airs his frustrations out in public. But I also think this. I think what he was trying to do and is trying to do is to gauge where the American people, but more importantly, where the Republican base is as it relates to Attorney General Sessions being in that role. If he sees that the blowback is so strong that they support him, he'll probably not move in a direction of getting rid of him. But if he shows that there's no support for him and everyone thinks that he's doing a horrible job, like the CBC and sometimes Angela Rye on this program, then he'll get rid of them. But I think he was just testing the waters to see how strong of support he had for him. But at the end of the day, the president knows that the people that work for him serve at his pleasure. When the pleasure is gone, he has every right to get rid of people.
When the pleasure is gone? Sorry, I had to comment on this. So just real quick, I think it's important for us to note that Donald Trump thinks he is Simba in The Lion King, where he just can't wait to be king. He's in the wrong doggone country for this. And the reality of it is Jeff Sessions is supposed to be serving the country, even if he is in Donald Trump's cabinet. I don't feel bad for Jeff Sessions, but it's absolutely regular Donald Trump campaign bullying behavior, and it's absurd. Donald Trump should understand that if there were any laws violated, if, for example, Jeff Sessions forgot to report some pretty serious things during his confirmation hearing, that's why he had to recuse himself. And we shouldn't get past those facts. As much as he's throwing these tantrums, welcome to the presidency, Donald Trump. Being commander-in-chief was a little bit harder than you thought it would be.
Oh, Angela, Hakuna Matata, don't worry. It'll be okay.
Oh, I'm worried.
Good. We're getting to the Lion King references. Paris, real quick here. We just have a few seconds left.
Yeah.
But what did you make of this tape that was the two senators caught on tape, Susan Collins and Jack Reed of Rhode Island, and they were saying about President Trump, Reed says, I think he's crazy.
And that they're worried.
Collins says, I know, I'm worried. Real quick.
That's their personal opinion about the president. I would just hope that's not going to be on the tape. I'd hope that they see that the president's trying to do some good things and get on board with the agenda they're trying to do for the country. But if that's how they feel, it's unfortunate. Millions of Americans don't agree.
Well, more to the point,
millions do.
Well, more to the point, they're also worried about a budget deal and the government being paralyzed.
Yeah.
So we'll take that up another time. Paris Denard, a Republican strategist, and Angela Rye, a Democratic strategist as well, landing a couple blows. Thank you both.
Thank you, friend.
Thanks, guys.